I would like to acknowledge the Quandamooka people, the traditional owners of the land on which this podcast was recorded, and to pay my respects to their elders past and to those emerging. I am fortunate to be able to spend much of my lifestyle outside on the land of the longest living storytellers in the world, and I'm grateful for their ongoing care and connection to the land and the waterways. I do my best to respect the land by treading carefully and acknowledging the beauty when I'm working, living and playing on country. Alex Phillips is a physiotherapist and the owner of Evoxia in Edith Street, Wynnum. I love seeing women take the leap and back themselves, and Alex did just that by opening her own physio clinic. Alex has a lovely warm energy and a sharp mind, which is the perfect combination for what she does. I really liked hearing all about setting up a new business and how she manages the challenges of that. Enjoy listening to Alex. Hi, Alex, and welcome to the Women Win a Manly podcast. As we always start with, how did you get to the Bayside and what do you love about it?
Hi, Alana. Thank you for having me on your podcast. How did I get to the Bayside was I moved here a few years ago. And I thought it would be a temporary move to the Bayside, but Wynnum has a trap. And as soon as you get here, you don't want to leave. So when I was looking at starting up a physio clinic, I thought Wynnum would be a very good location to have it in. And I didn't want to leave. So those two things went together quite well.
How did you find it? Why Wynnum?
Why Wynnum? Well, I was here looking for space. And at the time, there were quite a few empty spots along Edith Street. And I'm having a look at them all, sitting along a park bench. And one of the owners of the building came by and said, "Do you want to have a look at my tenancy?" And I said, "Absolutely." And he opened the door and I said, "Yeah, this looks good."
As only in Wynnum can occur.
Only in Wynnum. And he said, "Make me an offer." And later that day I got the contract for the building. So it was a pretty cool Wynnum story.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. So you're a physiotherapist with your own physiotherapist business. So there are a couple of things there. How did you get into physiotherapy?
I was working for an amazing woman for about 10 years before this clinic. And I started off as a receptionist there, then did a Bachelor of Physiotherapy while I was still working there, and then worked my way up into practice management. So by the time I had graduated, I was managing her business. She was teaching me everything from payroll to managing employees. So I was primed for it.
And
I
was an apprenticeship.
Yeah, it was basically an apprenticeship. Mm. So when she sold her business, it kind of became obvious that to go and work for someone else would just not cut it, and she gave me the skills to go out and do it on my own. So I took that leap, and here we are.
And so physiotherapy itself, so you were working at that clinic. What was the interest in physio?
As
a job.
Yeah. I was doing a Bachelor of Science at the time, and that doesn't really give you a final job at the end of it unless you want to be a scientist. So my options were the allied health world. I like helping people, never really wanted to be a doctor, but something in the medical world sounded good. And physiotherapy, I was surrounded by physiotherapists. I could see what they did. They helped people every day, and I enjoyed working there. So it grew on me, and then applied, got in, and yep.
And what a fabulous mentor.
She was amazing.
Do you think she realised what a great mentor she was?
She knew what she was doing. Oh, okay. She's listening to this. She knows she primed me to do what I'm doing today. She's brilliant.
So she obviously saw something in you beyond not being a physiotherapist is not enough ever. It's a very commendable profession. But taking that next leap is not something that, you know, everyone would do. So what were some of the things that, I guess, some of the challenges in then thinking, because you're only quite a young woman, to how long have you been practicing
before? Not very long. So by the time I had graduated, I was already managing her clinic at the same time. So it was a bit of a weird intro, then straight into COVID. Mm. So since 2020, so graduating in 2019. So not long.
Very,
very, very quick jump into it. I always enjoyed the business side of it more than the physio side of it. Not that I don't love my patients, but yeah.
So that leap into straight into 2020, right when everything's changing. COVID. So great time to start a business.
Year after.
So what were some of the challenges in getting it? How did you go about it? Like, you knew the business side because you'd had that apprenticeship, which is more than what a lot of people in business would have, I guess. So you would have had to put a business case forward, you know, find the space, which, you know, was easy apparently.
A lot of spreadsheets, okay. And figuring out, I guess, what the most I was going to lose by making the job was. I have an amazing father who built all of the walls you see around me, and we painted it, and I couldn't have done it without family.
Yeah, because it's a big space. How many rooms are there?
There are four rooms here, and we do collaborate with Chi Flow Yoga Studio around in Florence Street, so we take a lot of patients there for our personal training and gym sessions. Yeah.
Wow, which is a bit of a unique way of doing things too, isn't it? Is that unusual? I don't know. To partner with another, like for the PT, to be able to not, so you don't do it on premises, but you actually partner with another business in the local area.
If we had the space, we would definitely do it here. If the awesome Turkish restaurant next door had to take that space, I was actually looking at it, but I'm more excited about having yummy Turkish food next door.
It does sound exciting, that place.
So obviously if I had the premises, then I'd do it all here. But Maggie and Darren from Chi Flow are amazing. So they're actually a really good company to work for. And in Wynnum especially, that collaboration between businesses is probably one of the best things you can do around here. It's definitely a community.
It's a real bonus. That's what I was thinking as you were saying it. What a bonus to be able to have someone two streets away to be able to collaborate with and partner with. So what do you love about now that you are here? What are some of the challenges that you faced in that first couple of years of owning your own business and in a tough environment as well?
Exhaustion.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Finding staff. There are not many physios that don't have a job in Australia. Okay. So everyone that you are hiring is coming from a different clinic normally, or they're a new grad coming straight out of uni. So it was about finding the right people. That took 6 months to find my first full-time staff member, and that was Flavio, the Maya therapist, because I interviewed a whole bunch of physios and they were interviewing at about 8 different clinics at the same time. So that was definitely the hardest thing. So there's a labour shortage in our field, 100%. And then finding those other staff members as well took a little bit longer too, but now we've got a few of them and... Yeah.
And what is it that you look for? Because I imagine you don't just want to take the first person that says, I want a job. You want to, it's your business. What is it that you look for in your staff?
A good personality. Because at the end of the day, we all have different physiotherapy skills. Yes, you do need to be able to fix your patients, but there goes so many steps past that. So you need to build a relationship with your patients and you need to be able to really be able to help them from a holistic perspective. So the personality of the people I'm hiring comes into it, and you also want to be able to enjoy coming to work each day and enjoy being around the people you're with. So I have an amazing little team here. We're all quite happy. So
and you're continuing to grow?
Yes, definitely. We'll continue to grow. I don't know what that all looks like yet, but again, there are a lot of spreadsheets happening. So watch this space to figure out where it goes from here and what it'll look like.
Yeah. And what do you, in your physiotherapy world, outside of, during the day, you're still practicing?
Yeah. Still practicing as a physio. So I do about 4 clinic days and about 1 corporate physio day where I go to a particular workplace and we do things like pre-employment screenings or managing injured workers. So do a lot of that stuff as well. Somehow manage to fit management into that week as well. So still practicing. I can't see that stopping anytime too soon.
Yeah, and you still enjoy it, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. The patients make it worth it.
So outside of Evoxia, what do you do? How do you spend your time?
A lot of reading.
Apart from books, managing the business.
Yeah, there seems to always be something work related. I enjoy going down to the water. So I'm normally down there most mornings. You'll see me walking about 7 o'clock down by the water. It was gorgeous this morning, very sparkly. But mostly just catching up with friends, catching up with family, doing random exercise related activities. So I'm currently doing circus aerial.
Tell me a bit more about that.
Yeah, so I don't like exercise in general, so the exercise I do has to be exciting. So this term I thought I would do aerial, so we trapeze and silks and Lyra hoop. And then a few months ago it was a strong woman competition. So yeah.
What's a strong woman competition?
Oh, lifting up very heavy stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Just for a challenge.
So how heavy, what sort of heavy?
There were a few different events. So one of them was a farmer's carry where it was 50 kilos in each hand and you had to walk, I think it was for about 1 minute straight. So that was relatively challenging, and I think the deadlifts were about 110 kilos, I think I got up to in that. So fitness challenges are always good.
Yeah, and what do you do to work your way up to? Lots of gym?
Flavio. Flavio, the myotherapist, he is an amazing personal trainer, and he was also a strongman competitor himself and also did the competition with me too. Mm. So he is very bossy but very good at what he does, and he trained me in about 7 weeks to be able to do that.
Wow.
But yeah.
And you'll be doing more of that, do you think?
Maybe. It depends whether he tells me I should be doing more of that or not. But I'm enjoying the circus stuff a lot more at the moment.
The circus stuff, that always reminds me of Pink.
Yes. Yep. So pretty much exactly that, but a lot less graceful. She makes it look very, very easy.
Yeah. And so the upper body strength, I imagine. Upper body and core?
It's ridiculous.
Is that what you need?
You have to hold your whole body weight up on one hand. It's not enjoyable. I've got bruises everywhere.
Really? How do you get the bruises?
Depending on the equipment, you have to push your body quite firmly into very hard equipment. So it looks very pretty when they do it, but it's actually horrible. And it's almost like you're getting a really deep tissue massage constantly. Imagine someone's elbow into every part of your body. Oh. That's what you come out with.
And this is what you enjoy.
Oh, it's great. I love it.
And is that really good for you just to separate yourself from thinking about the business, thinking about your day stuff?
100%. Yeah. That was actually why I did the Strong Woman competition, because work at that point was there were a lot of things on. So I was onboarding new staff. I had a few business dramas to sort out myself, and there was nothing that was not work-related at that point where I started it. So for some... Somehow Flavio managed in that time to convince me, hey, train for this. And it became really good because it gave me something that distanced me from work. It made me eat the right food, because if I didn't eat the food, I couldn't do the training and I couldn't meet the goal of doing this. So it that external driving factor was really good at that time.
So looking after yourself really in another way as well. Now, Voxia, how did you come up with that name?
So I'm Greek. And I had all the spreadsheets done. The only thing I hadn't done before I signed the lease to this premise was I hadn't come up with a business name. So then I had to start thinking. I'm Greek, so the word evexia means well-being in Greek. And then I looked that up online, and too many businesses had that as an overlapping name. So it became Evoxia, and it stuck.
Yeah, and it rolls off your tongue easy too, doesn't it?
Yeah. Not everyone knows how to pronounce it, but I don't really care how people say it, so long as they turn up and know where to go, then it's fine.
It doesn't matter.
And it has a story behind it, which is always good to have.
Yeah. And you've got the Turkish place, the Turkish restaurant opening next door soon.
Very excited about that. Yeah.
So what other, I mean, as a local myself, what other things have you seen just in that 3 year? What's changed in the Wynnum area for you?
So much stuff. I mean, I can go right next door and have a cocktail and pizza at D&W. There's the pizza place. There's sushi. There's new businesses coming. There's Kylie across the road at Eclectic Mix. So many tenancies that were empty before are full, and everyone's getting a little bit more excited about Wynnum, which is good, and that takes time.
Yeah.
It will evolve eventually. My goal is to get all of my friends to just always come to Wynnum to see me instead of me having to venture out. And that's the Wynnum trap. Once you're here, you don't want to leave. So
it's
you need
Wynnum
your
bubble.
Community. It's the Wynnum bubble. It's Terrible trap.
My daughter said to me that at times you just need a job, Mum, that's in Wynnum, and then you'd never have to leave.
And you don't leave. It's, yeah. Driving 20 minutes across to the city is just a horrible idea. No one would want to do that.
So where were you before Wynnum?
Coorparoo.
Yeah.
Which is completely different. Yeah, you wouldn't think 25 minutes away is such a different place to be.
It's a different environment, isn't it? It's completely. A different community feel altogether. Mm. Yeah, I was at Carina before, so yeah, for 20 years.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
You don't know the people around you. You don't have that intense community link that you have here. When it's here, you do something wrong, it ends up on Wynnum Ward. You do something right, it ends up on Wynnum Ward, and you can't hide from anyone around here.
So are your family close to here as well?
Yeah. So Mum lives in Wynnum West.
Okay,
and
yep.
Dad's still over in Coorparoo.
Yeah. So your mum's been here for a while, is it? So was she
here? Yeah, that's how I ended up over this side of town.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. So she has lived here. So you used to come visit here a lot when you were younger?
Yeah. She's been over this side of town for quite a while.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And so where did you I actually spoke to someone for the podcast recently who I always thought had lived in Wynnum all their life, and they actually were from interstate. So what about you? Where did you originate from?
Coorparoo.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Still in the family.
Oh, wow. The home that you were born in?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That's a rarity. Yeah. Like, you don't hear that
he
very
loves
often.
That place. I don't think he'll ever
he'll
leave.
He'll leave. Yeah. So what was it like growing up living in Coorparoo?
Coorparoo was lovely. It was a really nice little area. Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah. It's grown a lot as well, though.
Yes.
It's changed a lot.
I definitely could not afford to buy into Coorparoo at the moment. Actually, the way the market's going, I don't think I will be able to afford to buy anywhere soon. So we'll see how things go.
You got lots of rooms here.
Yeah. Just need a shower and a toilet and a sink.
And so, Dad, so the premises here are amazing and the rooms are quite spacious. So to have four of these rooms, so how long did it take for your dad? Did you sit down with him and design what you were going to do?
We pretty much sat on the carpet for a few hours and kept going and kept thinking about the way we wanted it to look. It started off with three rooms, then we put the fourth room in. He's great. So he mostly did all of it completely by himself. I came in and helped out where I could. I was still at my day job while he was building this clinic.
Mm.
And he had a few mates that came and helped him on occasion, but for the most part he's phenomenal and did it all. Put all the walls up, painted it. I don't think he's forgiven me yet for the amount of work it took.
You're quite indebted.
Yeah. He says I'm not allowed to make another clinic just yet. He still needs a little bit of recovery time.
Yeah. So how long did it take?
It's hard to say. Probably 2 months.
Yeah.
1 to 2 months. Yeah.
It's not too bad, is it, really?
No, it's not bad. Yeah. Probably probably a solid month and a little bit extra, about a month when it started looking like this.
Mm.
That was so long ago. That was 2 years ago now.
It's more like a lifetime ago.
It does.
And so during that time too, you did have, it was post the worst first year of COVID, but there were lots of lockdowns and things still. How did that impact the business?
It was good timing when I opened it. So we did need the QR code to check in, and we did need masks still for the first few months that I was open. But at that stage, people realized that you could still come to a physio clinic, so it was good. I didn't have staff with a lot of sick days due to COVID, so I didn't have to worry about that expensive paying staff. So that was a benefit that I had starting off. It was just me, so that helped out a lot. But COVID, in the most part, didn't really affect me at the beginning because of my slow introduction and slow transition out of the old job. Yeah. It made it a lot easier.
Yeah, you're right. It was perfect timing, really.
Yeah.
You would not have known that when you were doing all those early spreadsheets.
Definitely not. Well, I was managing the old clinic during the 2020 COVID, so during that part, which was just crazy. It was a whole other world. Yeah. JobKeeper and
of course.
All of that to navigate. It's quite interesting. Yeah.
But it was still an essential service, wasn't it, for customers?
It was, but the very first lockdown, no one really knew where the physio fit into that. Eventually, people figured out, oh, I can escape to the physio and continue on treatment. Yeah. So we had to do things like telehealth consultations, but, that clinic was a really well-established one, so it held on very well.
Oh, wow. Geez, you must have learnt a lot. What do you think the most important lessons are that you learnt from that apprenticeship?
Just how to work the way my boss did. Mm. Everyone enjoyed working for her. Mm. So I think that's one thing I try to emulate quite a bit.
Mm.
She was very good at delegating and not being a micromanager, so we all just enjoyed working with her.
Mm. That's a lesson a lot of people, you know, much older than you, haven't yet learned.
And know your numbers quite well. So she always knew exactly where her financial position was very well. So she, even though she had her bookkeeper and accountant and all of her advisors, she knew exactly what everything meant on a day-to-day basis. So she knew where the business was headed in her head.
Do you feel that it's a heavy responsibility? How? I mean, it's your business. Anyone in business, it's the same. It's, you know, it's on you. But how do you manage that?
Because I worked at that clinic and I was given a lot of autonomy in that management role, I feel like I've done it for so long that I don't even know what that feels like.
Okay, that's good.
To be able to say whether that feels like a heavy responsibility or not. I guess it's something I know how to do, and although that's tiring at the end of the day, it's still something I enjoy more than going home and not thinking about it.
And I guess you're realistic about it too. Like you came in knowing exactly what that. So that's, I guess that would mean by that you don't have that sense of heavy responsibility because you knew before you came what that's going to be.
I knew what it felt like.
So the transition was okay.
Less scary. Slightly less scary. And you can always find a job as a physio, given the labour shortage especially. So if I needed to go out and get a job, I'm sure I would be fine.
You're well aware of what that...
Yeah, it's definitely always a contingency plan.
So do you think there's a unit, just thinking about that, is there enough people coming through university, do you think, or there's just more physio opportunities available now than there were before? What are your thoughts?
I think it's a combination. So the NDIS provides a lot of funding for extra services. Okay, so previously where anyone with a disability needed to access services, they either might not have had the funds they quite have now. So NDIS has opened up the opportunities for employees a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot more jobs out there and a lot more need for physios. It's definitely one of the factors. I think we definitely do need a lot more new grads coming out
through
at the moment, just for the knee, because every physio clinic in this area is doing quite well.
Yeah, which is, and there's a few of you. So
there are quite a few of us in this area, but everyone was telling me before I opened the clinic, one friend in particular, he goes, you know, you call up this place and you can't get in for 3 days. You call up this one, you can't get in. So it was, and that's just in this little area. So there's definitely a need for it. And we've got an aging population too.
So the demand's definitely still there.
The demand's really high.
And do you think it's changed? If you've seen new grads, you haven't been that long. Do you think there's been a shift with the way people operate as physios?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So the way I saw so I was at that old clinic for 10 years, so there was definitely a huge shift in the way physios practice. A lot more exercise-based interventions now coming through. A lot more research is happening in the physio world. Physio is still a relatively new profession in the scheme of things, so they're always looking at better ways to do things, better ways to understand the evidence behind what we do to provide good service to our patients.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it, just how quickly some of that changes. I even know from my own experience of physios, you know, it was only 5 years ago I remember going to someone and they said, you know, I do nothing for 6 weeks basically, and that's just been debunked, hasn't
it? Or put a heat pack on and stay in bed for 2 weeks and don't move.
Yeah, it's really been debunked that you have to keep moving. Yeah,
and we're constantly fighting those old beliefs as well about how to treat people.
So what's your, do you have a philosophy in the way that you practice?
No, none that I could articulate. Help everyone in whatever way that you can and use every tool at your disposal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
because you'd see people from all walks of life and all ages, so the demographics would be quite diverse.
I get 6-year-old kids in the clinic. I get 90-year-old people in the clinic. 90-year-old fit people, 90-year-old unfit people.
Yeah.
Everyone in between.
So growth for you, so you just, how many days did you do at the clinic still? 4 days at the clinic and 1 day
Look, I'm at working
at workplaces, the corporate? That,
yeah, I'm working here about 6 days a week, 5.5 days, because we do the half day on Saturdays. So, yeah, it's about 4 clinic days.
And so would you like, ideally, what's your goal? What's your big long-term goal?
Oh, I would love a bigger premise, be able to do a lot more classes on site. But at the moment, we've got such a good collaboration with Chief Low that we don't really need it right now. But obviously, down the line, having everything in one shop would be amazing. Yeah. What that'll look like will keep changing.
Yeah. It's still early days, isn't it?
But the brain's always ticking over, unfortunately.
Doesn't stop.
That business brain keeps going and I'll always want to do something different.
And the corporate stuff, do you enjoy that, the corporate?
Yeah, the workplace stuff is quite enjoyable. I like working with a workplace, helping them understand injured workers, how we can help them, how to help them get back to work quicker. I feel like it's still an area that most people do very, very poorly.
I was going to ask, has there been a shift in the thinking around that and the engagement from workplaces?
It's still hard because, you know, we've got the workers' compensation system in the country. That works quite well, but also the workplace can do a lot more.
Preventative instead of just responding to work cover.
Early intervention. We can't always prevent injuries unless it's something really obvious that we can prevent, but most of the time it's just about having someone that they can call when one of their workers is concerned about something, instead of that concern building up over time to be a huge problem and then they go to their doctor
and then they end up
on a lengthy work cover claim. So getting in there early and helping their workers, because ultimately that gets the worker better, quicker, so the worker's happy and comfortable, and ultimately everyone wins.
That's a big big one to nut to crack, isn't it? Changing that mentality.
It takes a bit of time.
I think I've seen over the years a little bit of a shift around that. Well, it's been lovely chatting with you, Alex.
Me too.
And all the best for the business. It's a lovely space that you've got here. Well done to you.
Thank you, really appreciate it.